Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for the privilege of having it in our language, so readily available and in great translations. And we pray that we wouldn't squander this privilege, but that we would read your word now and learn from it. Speak to us, we pray. Work in our hearts by the Holy Spirit as we read and hear. Unstop our ears, open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Lead us to know and love you more, to trust Jesus, to have our eyes fixed on him, and to walk with the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're fired. That's my best Alan Sugar impersonation. And this week he said that to a political party. He'd been funding them and supporting them, but he decided he didn't like the way they were going. You're fired. He said that they were negative to business, and so he wanted business to be supported. And I always wonder when I hear of some businessman or other donating to a political party or giving support to them, I always think, well, what's in it for them? What's the payback? They must expect payback, mustn't they? They must expect government policies that change things so that they end up more profitable or something like that. What's in it for them? And today, we're thinking about Christians giving money. And I suppose you could ask the question, what's in it for us? If we give money as believers in the Lord Jesus, what's in it for us? Well, someone might say, David, that's completely the wrong way to think, isn't it? Aren't we called to be giving, but be doing it in a generous and willing and sacrificial way? Yes, that's absolutely right, we are. And after the service, I'm going to give you a green sheet, which is part of our giving challenge that we're going to make over the next couple of weeks with our giving series. And on there are a few Bible references. You'll see they all talk about being generous and willing and sacrificial, cheerful. So in a sense, there's nothing in it for us that we're giving. Nothing in it as we give as Christians. But on the other hand, there is treasure to be found as we give. And that's what we'll find in our passage today in Philippians chapter 4. We've got to the end of the book of Philippians. And it's been brilliant, hasn't it, to look at it together and think, how can we be a church together? How can we be a church and to learn from the Philippians and what Paul taught them? Remember Philippi up in Macedonia, and it was a Roman town. And the first city in that part of the world to ever get the good news of Jesus Christ from Paul. And you can read about it in the book of Acts in chapter 16. They had a rough time when it started, and Paul wasn't there long, but he left behind a church that was willing and eager to be partners in the gospel. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. It's about telling people about Jesus so they can respond to him as Lord and Saviour, turn their lives around and put their trust in him. That's the gospel. It's about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, so that we can, as it were, knock on heaven's door and be accepted and not turned away, because Jesus has died in our place. And in the book, we've heard about them being partners in this gospel, about living lives worthy of the gospel, about having a one mind and being humble like Jesus as he gave himself to death on the cross, and all these great things. And last week, we heard about a gift that the Philippians had sent to Paul. If you look on these sheets, just at the top at verse 10, he said, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." He had received that gift. But he wanted to know that Jesus, the all-sufficient Jesus, was who he depended on in each situation, whether in need or in plenty. And this week we carry on looking at this gift. He says more about it to the Philippians. Now, what does he want them to think? What does he want them to think about him and their gift and giving? That's a good question to ask of any passage, isn't it? What did the writer want those who were hearing it to think? I think he wanted them to think this. Having heard it, they'd be sitting there thinking, I'm going to be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. And that's what we're going to look at in this passage today. First of all, we'll just take a look at some features of what's going on and what he says. And then we'll think about that statement and how it comes out of what Paul says here. And at the end of this sermon, this is what I want us to be thinking. What struck me from this passage as being the message for us today, for us to leave here thinking this: I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. So what do we see in the passage, first of all? Well, Paul wants them to continue to be gospel partners with him through their giving. And the first thing we spot is that they're amazing at giving. They really are. Right from the beginning, when they first knew Paul and when he first left them, they were giving. So verse 15, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, in other words, when he left them and left Philippi and went on from there, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, which is the very next place he went to, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. They're amazing at giving right from the beginning. And now, as Paul writes this letter, he's in prison, maybe in Rome, somewhere like that. And even now they're giving. Still, verse 18, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're brilliant, aren't they? They're generous, they're willing, they're sacrificial, they're amazing at giving. And then notice that Paul thinks this is great. He endorses them. He gives them a sort of apostle's stamp of approval. So verse 14, it was good of you to share in my troubles. It's a good thing they've done. Yeah? Verse 17, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul actually isn't that bothered about being financially secure. That's not what's important to him. What's important to him is that the Philippians are built up and grow into maturity in Christ. And he sees their giving as part of that and as a credit to them. He thinks it's great. Not because he's getting stuff, but because they're showing Christ-likeness and growing in him. And then verse 18, the end of verse 18, he's talking about their gifts. He says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Isn't that great? How can we please God, we often wonder. Well, here's a way, through generous and sacrificial giving. But this is an endorsement of the Philippians' giving. Paul thinks what they're doing is great. And then the third thing to notice is that even though it's great, Christ is still all they need. And I think that's what Paul really wants to hammer home. He's really grateful for what they've done. It's been a great help to him all the way through his ministry in that part of the world. But he doesn't want them ever to forget that wealth and possessions is not what it's about. Jesus is all they need. He's sufficient for Paul. And he said that in the verses we looked at last week. And he's sufficient for them. And we see that in these verses here. Imagine that suddenly there was no electricity in the world. Imagine that. No electricity. What of your things that you own would be useless? Well, your mobile phone would be complete waste of time. Once the battery ran out, it would be dead. And then my lovely tablets and things like that, my guitar, wouldn't work. That big 90-inch telly you've got in your living room, maybe. Useless. Lots of things that we value and think are really great, actually they're not that good at all, are they? Not that valuable. When things are difficult. And yet Jesus Christ is always there, whether we've got plenty or nothing. He is sufficient for us. Strip away everything. He's more important than anything. And that's what Paul found in prison. Not that I desire your gifts, he says. He's helped by the gifts, but he's all right without them still. That's what he said in verses 10 to 13. He wants to encourage the Philippians. He says, verse 19, my God will meet all your needs. How? By providing a nice new building for them, right in the middle of Philippi, shiny stone, I think. No. By giving them feasts and lots of lovely clothes to wear as they meet. No. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's in Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection and his sending of the Holy Spirit into their lives, that they will get the riches of God. Their needs aren't met with cash or gold or buildings or anything like that. They're met by Jesus and his gospel. Christ is all they need. And so when they've heard this, and you've got to remember that they wouldn't have had it in a book, they'd have had someone reading this out to them as they gather as a church. And when they got to this bit, I think ringing their ears should be this thought: I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. Let's think about that in two halves. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. They were generous, weren't they? So generous that Paul was embarrassed almost. Verse 18 again. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied. He's almost embarrassed about the amount they sent. They were generous. They were sacrificial. Verse 18. The gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. In other words, somehow it's cost them to do it. It's been painful in some way. On another occasion, the Philippians gave to a different cause to help other Christians in Judea where there was a famine. And Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians. He says this: Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches, that's Philippi and other churches around there. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Sacrificial giving. Amazing, isn't it? Nothing in return. They didn't get any recognition. There was no brick in the wall of some building somewhere. Philippians gave money for this brick, or something like that. There's no certificate. Congratulations. Major donors to the Judea Giving Project. Nothing like that. No recognition. It was sacrificial giving. Generous, it's sacrificial. And it was about the gospel. They were supporting Paul's ministry. And what did Paul do? It was all about the gospel. Whether he was chained up in a Roman prison somewhere, or whether he was out in the town speaking, he was sharing the message of Jesus, calling people to come to Jesus, to turn to him and receive forgiveness and life. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. So what about us? How can we echo that thought as we're hearing God's word from the Philippians, the book of Philippians today? Well, what gospel work can we support? First of all, our local church, St. Lawrence. As we support St. Lawrence and we give money to the operation of this church, this community and fellowship, we're supporting gospel work. What we do here is to proclaim Jesus. Have a look at those gold sheets again, and at the top where it has our new mission statement. Top here on the sheet. We aim to bring glory to God by helping you, the reader, to know Jesus and his love and salvation for yourself. Grow in Jesus and be transformed by his Spirit. And go to serve Christ locally, nationally and globally. This is the gospel that we're involved with. This is a statement that your church council has come up with after all those brainstorms, part of our mission action plan. Gospel ministry. So if you give to St. Lawrence, you're giving to gospel ministry. And then also, we have mission partners, who we support as a church. And these are other Christians working in other parts of this country or around the world who are also doing the same thing, sharing the good news of Jesus in some way. And it's good for us as a local church to have these links and to pray for them, to hear about them, but also to give them the money they need to operate, to be able to operate. And so we do that. So when you give money to St. Lawrence, you're giving to gospel work. Now someone might say, well, what about the donkey sanctuary? Can't I give money to the donkey sanctuary? And we have to say that it is important that animals are looked after, isn't it? But if you think of it, it's more important to see people come to know Jesus and be saved, isn't it? And out there in the world, there are lots of people who will give to the donkey sanctuary who don't know Jesus, and they've got money to give. So let them give to the donkey sanctuary. And with the limited funds that we have, that you have and I have, let's take that money and give that to gospel work so that people can be saved by Jesus. What about being generous and sacrificial? How do we go about doing that? Well, apparently across the population as a whole, 55% of adults will give to charity in any month. I think that's not a bad statistic, actually, across the population. 55% of adults in any month give to charity. The average amount they give is about £10 a month, if you don't take into account these massive donors like Bill Gates and people like that. The average amount is about £10 a month. Now, in church terms, that's not a lot of money, unless you're someone who doesn't have a lot of money, in which case it probably is. How do we make a decision, a wise and loving decision? How do we decide? Well, we need to pray. We need to ask God for help, for wisdom. Don't expect a voice in your ear when you're praying. Oh, dear Lord, please help me know how much.
David, £50. £50, David.
It's never happened to me. I'm not expecting it. Instead, expect God to give you a sense of what's the right thing, to help you, to have wisdom as you look at your own finances. Remember what it said about the Philippians in Macedonia, that they gave as much as they were able, and some even beyond their ability. They considered what they had, and they were careful and wise about it. So pray, dear Lord, please help me to consider my finances and to be wise and generous and sacrificial. Pray for God's help. One guide is that in the Old Testament, believers were asked to tithe, which meant to give 10% of what they had. And that little chunk that comes out of that pie chart up there, that's 10%. That's just a guide, because in the New Testament we're told that with Jesus and as we trust in him, we're freed from the law of the Old Testament. So it's not a strict application to us anymore. So it's just a guide, but maybe it's a helpful guide to give you a starting point of where to think of how to give. So how much? Be generous and sacrificial. And how can I give? How can you actually go about practically giving? Well, again, this green leaflet will help you. It's got information about how we do giving here at St Lawrence. So two main ways. Obviously, there's the bag that comes around in a service, and you can give money through that. But we would like it if you would consider your giving prayerfully in advance and give in a regular way, preferably using a standing order so that the money goes from your bank to our bank each month. And that's one way that's mentioned in here. Also mentioned in here is a weekly envelope scheme that we have. You can have an envelope to put your money in each week and put that in the collection. And that's all talked about in there. And over the next 3 weeks with our giving series, we'd like you to consider your giving, not just money, but also time and your gifts and talents, to respond to this. And we've got a card which we'd like you to take away and just look at with the sheet over the next 3 weeks. And then after that, to bring this back with your response on it. Maybe, for example, here it says, I have prayerfully reviewed my regular giving to St Lawrence, or I'd like to contribute my time and gifts by helping with. So practically speaking, this is how we can respond. But don't dive in today and fill it in eagerly today. Wait until we've heard all the sermons in the three sermons in the series. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. And that's the first part of it. What about the second part, which is this? Because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. That's where the Apostle Paul wants them to be ending their thinking here, isn't it? To be giving because of Jesus. Jesus is there at our motivation and reward. Look at the end of the passage, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Our most important needs are met in Jesus. Forgiveness comes from the riches of his glory. Newness of life with him, that's from the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Help for us to know God from day to day comes from the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Think of all those things we've read about in Philippians as we've been through it over the weeks. Standing firm for the gospel, being united in the good news of Jesus, living lives worthy of Jesus, having minds like Jesus as he left heaven and died on the cross and was exalted, shining like stars in the world around us, rejoicing, not being anxious. Do you remember all those things? They're all there, aren't they? According to the riches of God's glory in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That motivates us because it helps us to see that we don't need wealth when we have Jesus. We just need what we need to get by. We don't need to be wealthy. And we do want people to be saved. So we want to help by giving to help that happen. And so it motivates us, but it's also a reward, isn't it? Because there's spiritual blessing in giving. The Philippians somehow are being more mature in Christ and becoming more mature because of their giving. And it's the same for us. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? If you give generously, willingly, sacrificially to gospel work, what's in it for you? Well, on the one hand, nothing. You're giving away money. You will have less money than when you started. That's the guarantee. So on the one hand, there's nothing in it for you. But on the other hand, there is treasure because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. Look at verse 19 one more time. Paul says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how exciting it would have been to be in that congregation at Philippi and hear from Paul and the great encouragement that they're giving sometime had cost them dearly, had been so beneficial to him, and yet to hear still that Jesus is all we need, and how they must have known that anyway, the opposition they were facing and the difficulties they had. And Lord, we pray for your help that we would, like them, be generous, willing, sacrificial, and that our giving would help the gospel, help people to hear of Jesus and to grow in him. And that we would be able to rejoice in the riches of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.